This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, let's fire up Ravens fans Derrick Henry. Let's do it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You're standing next to Lamar Jackson pre-snap. What are you thinking?
I'm just tell eight lead, and I'm gonna be right behind you.
You know the Ravens use fullbacks too. You
big guy. Seen him on film a lot, so I'm definitely familiar with him, yeah, for sure.
Mr. Ricard, you're gonna beam you up.
Today's guests: keeper of the Stanley Cup, Howie Barrow; actor and producer Dennis Quaid; plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are quite fired up today, and we'll show you why in a split second. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our podcast listeners who listen to us whenever they darn well please. It's your right. It's called an on-demand world. And you can also watch us on demand through our Roku channel relationship. There's our YouTube page. There's so much more for you to take in every single day, all 3 hours. And we've got a good one in store. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk right now on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know who stopped by? Chris Brockman, you're always here, right? Good to
hey,
see
Rich,
you.
Hey, Rich, I'm here.
DJ Mikey D.
I'm here a lot.
Ish,
yeah, a lot,
but you're here. It's good to see you.
Well,
TJ Jefferson, you're here.
I'm always here.
It's good to see you, sir. Good to see you. You know, stopping by Dennis Quaid.
Oh, nice.
In studio hour number three.
Inner Space, Mike.
Is that your Dennis Quaid go-to movie?
Because Brockman said yes. I mean,
This is a classic 80s movie.
I went yes to Brockman.
He's in a new film called The Long Game. It does involve the sport of golf, which he enjoys playing himself.
Love it.
Speaking of which, the Masters, par 3, is going down today. Mm-hmm. And then a tradition unlike any other, it starts tomorrow, that being the Masters. Dane Brugler, the draft NFL draft expert from The Athletic, is going to be zooming into the show in hour number two. But we have an in-studio guest I'd like to introduce, never been here before. And that in-studio guest is named Lord Stanley. The cup is here. Sitting to my right. I mean, how do we describe this to our radio audience other than the fact that it is beautiful?
I'd imagine everyone's seen it, knows what it looks like.
Of course they do.
Seen it hoisted.
They do know what it looks like, right?
I mean, it's stunning.
It's so cool.
You've never seen it in person,
I've
right?
I've never seen it in person. The Bruins, I'm not a huge hockey fan. I check in at the playoffs. I become a Bees fan. They won it back in, 10-11?
Yes.
And I was out here, so I didn't go back home or see it on display in bars or wherever. Never seen it. Never been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. This is amazing.
It is pretty sweet. And the keeper of the cup, Howie Barrow, is in our green room. He's going to come out and tell some stories. And I could see my reflection in it, looking to my right. It really is truly special. And it's in honor of the Stanley Cup playoffs beginning Saturday, April the 20th, on a host of national television opportunities for you to check out on NHL Partners, TNT, TBS, True TV, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. I remember when I first showed up to ESPN as a 26-year-old in Bristol, Connecticut. And one of the first things I did as a broadcaster at the worldwide leader in sports was do intermission reports for NHL hockey playoff games.
Rich, NHL tonight.
And,
tonight.
I never hosted NHL tonight.
Oh.
That was the purview of Billy Pito. Okay.
And Bucci? Was Bucci main there yet?
Bucci had not arrived yet in 96.
Okay.
John Buccigross, who is now the keeper of the NHL Flame on ESPN, right?
That's a great job.
And he had not arrived yet.
Okay.
But I showed up and look it up. I believe it was Penguins. It was Penguins with Capitals.
Was it the Flyers, like the 4 or 5 overtime one?
It was 4 or 5 overtimes. I believe it was Penguins Capitals in 1996 playoffs, if you want to look that one up.
Yeah, Penguins Flyers did a 5
Penguins
overtime.
Flyers,
in,
is that what it was?
2000. That was
2000. No. 1996. Okay. I believe it was Penguins and Capitals back in the day. And
it was the Devils, Jason Feller is saying.
Oh, is that, was the Devils? Okay.
He
Jason,
so.
Jason Feller has shown up because he's a hockey guy. He's an LA Kings fan, and he heard that the Cup's here.
Cup's
so
here. How could I not?
Okay, very good. Well, at any rate, I should have looked this. I had no idea we were going to be talking about this today, just jogging my memory. It's the 1996 Stanley Cup playoffs, Chris. All you got to do is Google those words, and you will see the Penguins in the first round.
Thank you. I'm looking at. I'm trying to type in what Feller said.
Don't listen to Feller.
I mean, you're assuming the Feller. Like,
all I know is
the
Devils
won in 95. The Avalanche won in 96.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to do the playoff.
What is the worst thing ever? Thank you.
Well,
Penguins,
I mean,
Capitals,
you had your facts right. That'd be great.
Games.
Hold on. You had your facts right.
Thank you. Mike Hoskins, who is now, who is producing the show, was able to Google it at the same
four
time.
Four overtimes. Penguins win 3-2.
Hey, right. Over the Capitals?
Over the Capitals.
Yeah, there you go. Way to go, Chris.
Like they say in hockey.
April 24th, 1996.
Who had the winning goal? Was it Peter Nedved?
See, you just got there.
Who had the game
winning
goal?
Yeah, Peter Nedved. Yeah,
lit the lamp. I believe he's the one who kept me there all night because he tied it in third. And then and I kept doing the same intermission report over and over and over again.
Yeah, nobody scored. And,
again, and I remember sitting there saying to myself when they said it was the longest game since like 1936 or whatever. I'm like, okay, so definitely there was no such thing as cable TV.
True.
And there definitely wasn't any such thing as a sponsored intermission report or as Bill Pito would say, brought to you by. And so I had a record until that five overtime game.
In 2000. Also with the Penguins.
I don't know whoever did the intermission reports for that broadcast. Because I was in the books, man. I was in the books. So wherever if there was a cup for that, my name would be etched in that cup. And I just remember how crucially important hockey was to NHL hockey was to ESPN's, you know, essence at the time. And then when ESPN and the NHL broke up, it was a lot of sad fans in the Bristol world.
Happy.
And then, well, because what, Fox and the Glowing Puck got it?
Puck, which I have at home. That's when I saw that thing for the first time. That beautiful,
you have a glow puck at home?
Yes.
So let's
unworking.
The
unworking.
New York Rangers are currently your points leader as we're getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And with 110 points, your Bruins are having an excellent season, Christopher.
Yeah, after last year's record breaker, lost in the first round.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, speaking of broken hearts in Connecticut, the former Hartford Whale are doing mad work again at 107 points. The aforementioned Caps are currently holding on to that final playoff spot as a wild card in the East with the Penguins, Flyers, and Wings just a couple points separating them from the Caps. So that's what's going on in the world of hockey because the Western Conference is pretty much all settled. And it's kind of funny. Are you a superstitious person?
It depends. I would say
what
yes.
What do you mean it depends?
It's just, I mean, if I'm, you know, growing up, you play a sport, like you win a game, don't wash your uniform. Keep the wins in.
Okay, so you did that as a child.
Yeah, I did that as a kid in high school. Yeah.
Now, as a grown-ass adult with a child and people around you.
I think the only thing that I consciously do, I put my left shoe on first.
What do you mean?
Put my left shoe on first.
Okay. Are you a superstitious person?
Nah.
TJ?
No, you know, because for a while, the black cat thing, right? But then I was like, I don't like the way that the black cat has been, you know, frowned upon in society. That's my brother or my sister. So now I cross a black cat's path. You know, I don't
so you're not
them.
Superstitious?
No, I walk under a ladder. Mike, I saw Jeff Hardy walk under a ladder.
I am extremely superstitious.
What do you mean?
Oh, there are things I do before shows that I'm like Dion laying out. Clothes, it's nuts.
Oh, yeah, let me handle this. Let me handle this.
Even
stop.
For this show.
Let me handle this.
Even for this,
this
show.
Stop. Let me handle this.
Stop.
Excuse me.
My instincts just took over.
See, this is what I go
for very important shows, right?
Even this show, I do it every day.
Oh,
even
yeah,
this. I
oh,
lay
yeah?
my clothes
even
out
this
every
thing you wear every day? You're
no,
laying
I
that
wear
out
different
at night?
Shirts, but I'm prepped every night before I go to bed.
What are you prepped out?
My shorts or my prepped. My pants
like for colonoscopy? Yeah, you clean yourself out?
My socks are ready. My shoes are there.
Yeah, this is the biggest lie I've ever heard.
I'll take pictures and show you guys every. You I'm prep telling you, before I go to sleep. Yes.
Hey, yes. That free polo I got in 2002. Well,
you know what? That now I understand. Now, because he's prepped, everything's settled. That's how he can start focusing on like being on his phone and doing his Instagram, banking during exactly. the show. Like banking. He's prepped.
I don't do banking.
One thing I do now that I think about it is when anytime I go in an airplane, I always tap the right side of the door.
I'm talking about sports.
Yeah, that's
I'm talking about sports. And this past year for Michigan, I wore a Michigan sweatshirt for the game that we beat Ohio State for the third time in a row. And I just decided, you know what? I'll wear it for the Big Ten championship game. And then I'm like, do I wear it for the Rose Bowl? And I thought to myself, why not?
Ooh. Yeah.
And it was, as I was putting on, I'm like, I totally know this is totally unreasonable.
Yep.
Because I also know there has to be more, way more insanely superstitious Michigan Wolverine fans who are going through the same thing. And I'm like, well, if they're doing it, that might supersede my just casually putting this stuff on. But our director of today's program, John Monaco, prior to this show, again, Howie Barrow, the keeper of the cup, he brought the cup in 45 minutes before we went on the air. And we had a great 20 quiet minutes with this cup. And I was even saying to you guys, like, I don't know how, that's so rare because wherever this cup goes, it's a festival.
Yep.
Right? Wherever the cup goes, it's not just like in a room full of, most likely not, 7-8 people who can just take pictures and chill out and take a close look without touching. We were very respectful.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And because this is just like the Lombardi Trophy, you got to put felt gloves on.
Yep.
And in order to touch it, and there's certain people that can only touch it, period. And then there's some rules about only ones who can hoist it and only those who can tip it and those who can drink out of it. And again, this is the stuff that we're going to ask Howie about when he comes out here shortly. So it's so rare, but John wouldn't take a picture with it because he's a Rangers fan.
But they've won already.
Dude, once. Okay.
And it took since
Herbert Hoover.
He was alive. He probably remembers all of it.
No, I get it. But it's just like this entire Rangers season, which has been spectacular. As I mentioned moments ago, they are currently the points leader of the entire league with a week plus to go here. He won't take a picture with it. I cursed him out. And I don't curse a lot. To, you know, prior to the show or
when are you gonna
to
get to
a
see
coworker.
The cup again?
You're right. Like, look, where you just like, and you could take a picture with it.
You could do anything. We're
I
right
know.
Here.
Go find Messier's name and just zoom in on it.
Rich was
Brian
so serious.
Leach's name, zoom in. Richter's name is on this cup. You know, come on.
He took his glasses off when he was like, so you mean to tell me that you think.
I did say, I'm like, do you mean to tell me that you think the Rangers' fate in the Stanley Cup playoffs is affected by whether you take a photograph with this cup inside our studio or not.
TJ, don't take a picture with Lombardi this year. Maybe Dallas will win.
There
you go. I got a point.
Last couple of years, I've been taking a picture with it.
Yeah, that's been it.
That's it.
The only reason I can think of.
I'm blaming TJ.
All in. That's what I'm saying. So I guess 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Are you superstitious when it comes to your sports teams? And if so, how crazy are you? So he took a picture of the cup, but he wouldn't take a picture with the cup.
So I did it for him.
John, we root for the Wolverines. You know, like, so what? You were going to take a pick of, you know, honestly.
He probably took a picture of the 94 Rangers.
I'm sure,
team,
which
right?
is great. What a total pleasure it is to have the cup here. And again, I'm looking at it. You could see the dents.
Yep.
Oh, the top
dings.
The top cup is all like not in a perfect circle.
Yeah. By the way, Mike Hoskins, who is the biggest hockey fan we know here. I'm sorry, Mike. I've got to do this. I've got to say it. He's a Sabre fan. This may be as close to the cup as he's ever going to get.
Wow.
And I'm a Jet fan. And he agrees. He's going to have to agree. He's a Sabre fan. This is as close to the cup as he may ever get.
So bad.
And he was taking pictures with it like it was his wedding day.
You know?
Hey. Look at me and my friend Lord.
Hey, baby.
Hey. What's up, Stan?
What are you doing today?
Hey.
Lord Stanley.
So...
It's really cool.
This is insane.
Like they say, it's the coolest trophy in sports.
It really is.
Well, it's listen. The Lombardi Trophy is cool. You know, there's
the Hunk of Metal's cool.
The Hunk of Metal.
The Hunk of Metal.
The Commissioner's Trophy is cool.
Right. They're all cool.
Green Jacket's cool.
There's only one trophy that's been around 132 years that has every name of every member of every winning team on it.
All right, if I put up a poll, what's the coolest trophy in sports?
It's one right here.
It has to be this.
I've said for years, the presentation of this cup after the championship, it's the greatest thing
well,
in sports.
Like when they show it before?
A longtime executive of the NFL who I've gotten to know while he was with the NFL in charge of events, the big events of the NFL, is that guy named Frank Sipovitz, came from the NHL. And he's just like, we need to start treating the Lombardi Trophy like we treated the cup. And he was the one who started with that presentation of having
the gauntlet,
having the cup, the Lombardi being brought through out. By a former winner of it, and the players are gauntleting in it and touching it. I'm getting goosebumps just even mentioning. Made a whole big presentation of being brought to the podium.
That was so awesome when you guys started.
That was Frank.
Yeah,
you know, because he came from the NHL. He's just like, we got to start treating the Lombardi like the cup. So, hey, Frank, I haven't spoken to Frank in a while.
Thank you, Frank,
sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
And here we go. All right, so we've talked about the cup. Let's talk more about it.
Let's do it.
I love it.
Let's get him out.
What a great fun way
to
start today's program.
We're talking hockey. Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey.
Like a and gold medal? Is that the fourth thing I put? A gold medal?
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Would you not take a picture with the cup because you're superstitious about your team?
That's nuts. That's certified.
I get the superstition.
But you're not on the team.
Hey,
if
listen,
he played for the team, you come out here, you don't get near it, you don't take a picture.
That's why fan is a root of the word fanatic, right? And so how superstitious are you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. But the keeper of the cup is here. He's got a blazer and everything with a crest on the side. Blazer. Howie Barrow, the keeper of the great cup that we're thrilled and thankful that the NHL has brought to us to hang out with for hour number one, is coming up next here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Lately, I've been on a mission to change the way people view their finances and to encourage people to overcome obstacles and adversity. So, I've teamed up with the folks at Life Surge. Life Surge is a one-day faith-based event where you'll walk in hungry for success and you'll leave ready to build your resources to leave an impact on others. We're talking faith-fueled finance, growing your resources, crushing obstacles, and then, using it all for something way bigger than yourself. I'll be joining Life Surge in Raleigh in June. The Saturday event is sold out, so they've just added an extra event for Friday, June 7th. Joining me in Raleigh is two-time national football champion Tim Tebow, actor Kevin Sorbo, Duck Dynasty's Willie Robertson, the founder of Auntie Anne's Pretzels, Ann Byler, plush worship with Crowder. That's Life Surge Raleigh on Friday, June 7th. Tickets are on sale at lifesurge.com. I hope to see you there.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. And again, for those who are listening right now, you know what the Stanley Cup looks like. It is to my right, and it's actually in between my desk and the one who has brought it
to us, the keeper of the Stanley Cup, Howie Barrow, is here on the Rich Eisen Show again in advance of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Drop and puck on TNT, TBS, True TV, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. Playoff games nationally televised there starting Saturday, April 20th. Howie, it is a pleasure to meet you. I've heard about the cup keeper.
Okay.
And I'm thrilled to actually get to meet. How many cup keepers have there been in the history of the Stanley Cup?
There's probably been maybe 10 to a dozen. Right now, currently, there is four or five of us that do the main travel of the cup throughout the year.
Okay.
It's on the road 330 days a year on average. So, but Phil Pritchard, my boss, he's the official keeper of the cup. He's been doing it for 35 years now. So everybody knows
really?
Him. He's the one who presents it on the ice when the team wins. So
So you're part of a legion, a group of cup keepers.
Yes.
Okay. Are there cup keeper interns that eventually grow into being a keeper? Like, is there a stepping stone?
I think that's how it all starts. Yeah. Every once in a while, we have some extra helpers that will come in for a weekend or two, maybe a week at a time, and they'll do different various events. But there are the core main of us, like the four of us, that five of us that will do the main travel throughout the year.
So I guess, how did you get started?
I started as a volunteer back in 2004 with the Hockey Hall of Fame. I just wanted to talk hockey with other fans. And eventually I started working part-time in the museum, working on weekends, and then was asked to start traveling with other trophies. And then 2010, I was asked to start traveling with the cup.
Okay. Wow. I love it. Wow. I knew I'd start digging in here. So other trophies. So you travel with a Vezina first, or you travel with Conn Smythe? I mean, and then you work your way up?
Yeah. At no particular trophy. We'd go to various events with artifact displays and different trophies. And, you know, any one time we could travel with one trophy or maybe all 20 of them at the same time. So I don't remember which one now I started off with first, which is kind of weird that I didn't remember. But
once we were at Lord Stanley, everything just kind of fades away, all other trophies. Wow. Pretty cool. So the first day you travel with the cup was when?
The very first event I did, I was at a local hockey arena, and basically I had it on display for the fans.
Where was this? In Canada?
In Canada. Mm-hmm. But the very first team that I worked with in the summertime was the Chicago Blackhawks in 2010. And the very first player I traveled with was Jonathan Toews. So he's a good guy to start off with.
By the way, that's a pretty good one for you to start off
Absolutely.
With. Absolutely. And Chicago. I mean, of all teams, too, that just to get it right and to celebrate having it must have been such a moment for everyone to savor. What was that like to be around that?
Amazing. For an original six team to have won, and they hadn't won in over 40 years, I think, at that point. I remember that was my very first parade, Stanley Cup championship parade. And I was told there was over almost 2.5 million people on Michigan Avenue. And it was just amazing. People were everywhere. I've never seen anything like it since either. It's just the biggest parade I've ever been a part of. So the city is hockey crazy, and rightfully so. They're rebuilding now, but they'll get there.
No, I know that. Yeah. So okay, let's get into the a little bit more of the history and then some story time. I've got the keeper of the Stanley Cup with the Stanley Cup right here, Howie Barrow, here on the Rich Eisen Show. So this trophy was born 132 years ago?
Yes.
What's the history of that?
Well, it was first presented in 1893. Frederick Arthur Stanley, he was the Governor General of Canada at the time. He was selected by Queen Victoria in that role. And there was no championship trophy for the amateur champion within Canada at that time. So he presented a bowl. The official name of the bowl is Dominion Hockey Challenge Cup. And it was just for amateur champions at the time. So up until 1917, when the NHL was finally formed, it was all for amateurs before it became a professional trophy. And the engravings, they started early on and, up to the point the way it is now. So that's a whole different story there, too, with the history.
Which is what? So the bowl was what was presented originally over and over again, or just a different bowl?
The same bowl.
So which is currently resting atop this cup right now?
Well, the original bowl now is in the Hockey Hall of Fame on permanent display. They thought it was getting brittle because of the age, so they put this bowl on It's a replica, but it's been on the trophy since 1958. So
okay.
It's basically part of the
okay,
the original.
And then inside the top of the cup in the bowl is what? What's inside
the
bowl?
It was first presented 1893, but in 1907, the Montreal Wanderers decided to engrave their names, the roster names, inside the bowl for the very first time. So teams that had won previously, they decided they wanted their names on the cup too, and that's basically how the engravings and the tradition of that started. So as they started to run out of room, they had to start adding bands, and it changed shapes, you know, over the years.
What do you mean changed shapes?
Well, it started off as the bowl itself,
yes,
and then the neck piece underneath that, and then at one point up until about 1948, it was a stovepipe shape. Very tall, probably taller than it is now.
Yeah.
And the bands were much thinner, and they grew it about as much as they could at that time without it being too big to present and stuff. So 1948, they changed the shape to the way it is now, but they still tried to use the same bands from the original trophy. After a while, it still didn't work out where they could keep presenting the cup over and over. So 1958, they changed it again to the bands that they have now, where each team has the exact same spacing. So now it'll never run out of room, because it's going to be perpetual in a way that once the lower band is filled and the entire cup is filled again, they have to remove the top band from the barrel.
Right.
That's retired to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Everything's shifted up one, and a brand new one's put on the bottom.
And so the top band, as it currently is, I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's a half century of
65 years in total.
65 years in total. So the top band right now are the champions from which decade right now?
The oldest team on there now is the 65-66 Montreal Canadiens.
All right. And how many more? I could see some blank spaces on the bottom band. How many are left there?
There's room for 7 more teams.
Okay.
And then they'll make the switch again.
How many years between each switch?
13 years.
Oh, so, all right, I'll say it. So the Stanley Cup has a bar mitzvah every every 13 years.
Sure.
It's sort of like Lord Stanley's bar mitzvah.
Yes.
I mean, okay. And then when the band goes into the Hockey Hall of Fame, placed flat, right?
Yes, they cut it in half, and it's flattened out, and it's put on permanent display on a wall in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
So we're 7 years away from that.
Yes.
Okay. So get your bar mitzvah gifts ready over the next 7 years for Lord Stanley's Cup.
On it.
Howie Borrow, the cup keeper here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so now the display, you said 330 days a year.
Approximately,
that
yes.
That the cup is somewhere, right?
It's somewhere.
How many days of that year is in the possession of an actual the most recent cup winner? What's that process like?
Yes, so the championship team has about 100 days to travel with it. So that entails where each player will have a full day with it. Ownership, team general manager, president, equipment managers, trainers, all the players, they all get a full day with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have corporate sponsors and partners and stuff that too for the teams. But so we'll travel all around the world following these guys to their hometowns and home countries, and they'll be able to share it with their family, friends, and community.
So who's in charge? The teams are in charge of who gets how the 100 days are parceled out? Are you and your organization involved in this?
Yes,
or what?
My boss, Phil Pritchard, will work with a representative from the winning team, and they'll sort out a schedule. Players will ask for certain days that they can have the cup, and they'll try to work it out that way.
But you're not involved in that. That's their problem, right?
That's their problem.
That's a TP, problem, not a YP, not a your problem.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I just went boogie nights with the keeper of the cup right here. Okay, one of. All right, so what's the furthest you've ever traveled?
I was in a city called Novosibirsk, Russia, almost like Siberia country, but it's been to over 30 countries around the world.
Who'd you go there?
I was with Tarasenko from St. Louis Blues. And I've been to Russia now 5 times. We went to Australia not too long ago, but that was an NHL event.
Okay.
The cup has been to Japan once. It's been to China. Afghanistan to support the troops. It's been all over the world.
Amazing.
Pretty amazing.
What are the rules now for mere mortals? Mere mortals cannot touch the cup? What are the rules here?
Everybody has their superstitions.
We've heard that. Yes, right.
I heard you talking about that earlier. But some fans won't touch it because they think it's bad luck and they don't want to jinx their team.
Okay.
Players definitely that are still in the league trying to win it, they won't touch it.
They probably won't even look at it, right?
They won't go near it, no. But everybody has their superstitions. Some are stronger than others, I guess.
What's the most superstitious thing you've ever heard of involving the cup?
Just guys that have even won it, they won't touch it. There was a general manager once, because he never won it as a player, even though we won it as the general manager, still wouldn't hoist it over his head or anything.
Whoa.
It was just one of those things where he felt he never won it as a player, so he just felt it, you know, he didn't have the right to do that. It's supposed to be the players, but, you know, everybody has their own thoughts about that.
I see. Okay, so the rule is what? So there is no rule about who gets to hoist it and who gets to drink from it? Or what are the rules?
The main rule is you're supposed to have your name on it. You're supposed to be one of the winners. So when your name's on it, you have those rights where you can drink from it, you can hoist it, and stuff like that. But fans can touch it. We don't mind them touching it. They can give it a hug or a kiss. We just don't want them to move it or try to lift it themselves.
Are fans allowed to drink from it?
Only if they're in the presence of a player that maybe has a Stanley Cup day and that player wants to share it with them, then they can do it together.
I will share this with you. I was the late, beautiful human being, Matthew Perry, diehard Kings fan. Yep. I mean, absolutely loved the Los Angeles Kings. He had the cup for a day, and Kopitar was there.
Yes.
And Kopitar was the only one who was allowed to tip it and serve people drinking out of the top of the cup.
Yes.
And so he was following the proper protocol.
He was.
Okay. And I did drink from this cup. From it.
What did you drink from that cup?
I had a glass of red wine.
Okay.
And I poured it in there and he poured it, Anze Kopitar tipped Amazing. It and I drank from this cup. That actually happened in my life, and it was fantastic. And I do not have a photograph of it.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, wow. I do not. But it was just an absolute delight. And Kopitar couldn't have been nicer. He was doing a lot of work because that is the rule, and he was following it. That's it.
Yes.
How many times have you had to step in though? Around this cup.
Once in a while. I mean, when we are with the players, we kind of give them the little rundown of the rules and stuff like that. And they're very respectful. They understand. And we try to let them know that, you know, it's better to share it with your family, your friends, people that are more important to you. You shouldn't be going into a bar and sharing it with like 500 other people that you don't even know. But, you know, they do it. You really can't stop them from doing everything. But we just want to make sure the cup isn't in any kind of danger of being damaged. If it gets damaged while we're on the road and we have to take it off the road, then some other players might miss their cup day, and we don't want that to happen.
Of course. Or fans or days where it's supposed to be you know, viewed by a group of fans or, as you mentioned, sponsors.
Yes.
What's the craziest liquid you've seen placed in
There's
this
been
cup?
Margaritas okay. made out of it.
Do they salt the rim?
Well, they did once, but we learned that you can't do that because it actually turns the silver black.
Ooh.
Oh. So we don't do that anymore. Oh, yeah, it's just the alcohol that goes in.
So somebody did, in fact, salt the rim yes. of the bowl That's of the Stanley amazing. Cup to yes. serve a margarita.
Wow.
And you yes. learned the hard That's way amazing. That it affects the color of the cup itself.
Yes.
I guess trial and error.
Yeah.
And drinking.
Has it ever gone missing?
It's missed, you know, the odd connecting flight.
Okay.
You know,
what
sometimes
do you mean? Hold on a minute.
You
check this? This thing
we,
gets
we
checked?
We have to check it. That's the only way we can fly
yeah,
with
I mean,
it. We'll get to the airport. We'll check in, and then it has to go through TSA like any other sure. oversized baggage.
Right.
Once they check it.
Yeah. So you've waited at an oversized baggage carousel
yes.
waiting for the Stanley Cup to come
yes.
out. Do you,
I mean, it's the only way to travel.
I get nervous with my own bag, but my toiletry can.
Golf clubs and the Stanley Cup.
I see the case has a bunch of fragile signs on it.
Yeah.
I had a chair shipped from Philadelphia for WrestleMania, and I was just sweating this chair.
Of course.
I can't imagine what you must be feeling like waiting for that case to come out with this cup in it. You must be terrified. Yeah.
The very first time it happened to me, a player came to pick me up, and we were waiting for the cup, and it didn't show up. It wasn't put on the flight.
And
the poor guy had to go back to a parade in his hometown waiting for the cup, and it never showed. So he had to go through the parade, no cup. You know, I felt bad for the guy, but in the end, the rest of his day was fine. I had to wait at the airport for like 3 hours for the next flight. But what can you do? We have no control over something like that. So you just do the best you can and, you know, go on.
So has the cup ever almost missed its appointment to be presented to a winning team? Like, has it ever almost not made it to the ice?
There was a few years back in Chicago. It was late for the presentation. There was a big rainstorm or something that happened. Just the downpour of the rain flooded all the viaducts and everything, so the roads were kind of shut down. And trying to get from the hotel, I guess, to the presentation, even the police officers were having a tough time trying to get through the roads. So the cup was, maybe it was 10 or 15 minutes late, but it still arrived. But that's the only time. Now there's rules put in place that, you know, if they're waiting out in the parking lot, they're going to be right there at the building to be able to present on time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, I have so many more questions. Here's one for you, Howie. Howie Borrow, the cup keeper here. You don't have to give me the details, all right? Don't give me the details. But I would love the name of the player who's held the wildest party you have been to for the Stanley Cup, where even you, who have seen a lot, were like, wow, this one's a rager.
Alexander Ovechkin.
Don't let him answer.
You're leading the witness.
Don't leave the witness.
No. To be honest, people have their minds go wild thinking that there's all these crazy, crazy parties. But that's why I'm there now, and my coworkers. We're there to prevent that. Like, we want the players to have fun, but
sure, right.
You got to keep it within a certain.
But so, who's the one that give me the one that where it was kind of wild or?
Yeah, just... I haven't been to every party.
Okay,
but,
for
I'm
you.
Just trying to think of
for you. Well, you did have a reaction when he said the word Ovechkin. I mean,
I was at a player's. His uncle had a farm out in Western Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so earlier in the day, it was a family-oriented party. You know, kids and everything were there. So that was like a nice family reunion, barbecue-type thing. Mm-hmm. And then later at night, he had this whole elaborate system put up with tents and a dance floor. And he had the strobe lights and the karaoke machines and everything else. And, you know, that was pretty crazy. I mean, because they could get as loud as they want. No one was going to hear them and stuff. And, but,
you know, no one was going to complain about somebody screeching out careless whispers or something like that. Hammered at 3 a.m. with the cup. Who was the player who did that? Do you remember that?
Oh, I'm just trying to think now. Yeah, it's...
You're looking, looking at the cup to see if you can see an engraved name?
We have so many events throughout the years. Sometimes it is a blur to try to remember everybody.
I can't imagine.
Okay.
I'll think about it, and I will get back to you on that. But,
the cup doesn't have its own first-class seat.
Hold on a minute. Let's take a break. Let's take a break, and we've got a few more questions before we get you on your day here.
Okay.
And this is just a fun
it's
hour hanging
really
with the cup,
cool, man.
You know. And then we'll get
really
to the order of the NFL draft later on this month. And then the actor Dennis Quaid is coming in studio in hour number 3. We'll talk Masters and his new movie as well about golf. But we're back with the cup and the keeper of it next.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Howie Barrow, the keeper of the cup, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're here, radio and TV all together. And prior to the commercial break, I asked you, Howie, about who held the, you know, most unique party. I called it a rager. You're too kind to call it that. But you said he had like a kid set up, like a carnival set up during the day. Then they put the kids to bed, and out came a tent and karaoke and all sorts of fun stuff. And you said that you spent the commercial break searching for his name on the cup, and you found it.
I did. Yes.
Who is it?
Chris Versteeg with the Chicago Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks had fun with this thing.
Yeah. Got after it.
I guess if you win it once in 40 years, you're gonna go have fun with it.
And I don't know. I mean, somebody mentioned Alexander Ovechkin earlier. Yeah. I do have a story with him. Like, he's talking about food put in the bowl. You see everything: chicken wings, pierogies, mm-hmm. ice cream, cereal. But he put in $15,000 worth of caviar in the bowl. So that's his crazy thing.
What does? So $15,000 of caviar
just piled
fills
it up in there. Yes.
Okay. Was it above the rim, or did they
put in a bit of ice in the bottom? But then when they did put it in, it kind of came above the rim for sure. And there's some great photos of it. And everybody dug in, had their little spoons, and dug in. So it was pretty cool. Awesome.
Now, where in the world would Ovechkin get caviar that amount? How in the world would he be able to acquire such a thing? Wow. So I guess you're wondering, it's how expensive would it be to fill up the Stanley Cup bowl with caviar? We now have our answer.
There you go. That's
$15,000.
Like a pound and a half of caviar, by the way.
Wow. So you've seen all different types of food stuff in there. Soup?
Yes.
Have you seen soup in there?
Soup.
What cereal have you seen in there? Come on now. What
cereal? Fruit Loops, Captain Crunch, you name it, it's been in there. Cinnamon.
Toast Crunch.
Crunch
toast
or something? Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
It's the best milk.
We've seen I've seen the youngest baby in the bowl, too. That's a record that we kind of keep track of.
What's the youngest baby you've seen?
20 minutes old.
20 minutes?
Unbelievable as it is. 20 minutes.
Whose was this?
Which baby was this?
It was a couple that had a baby in St. Louis back in 2019.
Okay.
And there was actually a couple that was supposed to try for the record ahead of time. But she had a cesarean, and while she was being prepped after the baby was born, some other woman had the baby naturally, and she was ready to go right away. So she kind of jumped in and took over the record right then and there.
No way.
Yeah. The previous record to that was, there was 6 hours, and then it got down to 97 minutes, and then 20 minutes now is the standing record.
So what is this record? People are going, what do you mean they're going for it? So is the cup in a hospital?
Pregnant women give birth,
and it's like it's a race to the finish?
Yeah. It was a planned event to go there, yeah, and that's how it happened.
So it's just, hold on a second.
It's like, who has the New Year's
I'm just
first?
Again, my brain is just firing off on all cylinders right now, so... There's a bunch of pregnant women in St. Louis.
Okay.
By the way, right? Okay. There's two pregnant women in St. Louis, and they both know what the goal is to have a healthy child, A, and B, have it fast enough to set the record for the youngest human ever placed in the bowl of the Stanley Cup. Is that what you're saying?
Well, originally,
do the doctors know they're on the hook too here?
I think there was a little bit of that going on, but originally it was just one woman.
Okay.
And the idea was, once she had the baby, then they would put the baby in the bowl.
Yes.
So it would have broke the record no matter what time it was, as long as it was within an hour and a half.
Yes.
Well, when the second woman all of a sudden had a baby and she was ready to go right away, that changed the whole storyline right there. So we got the baby in the bowl. They prepped the baby, got her all cleaned
her
up.
Idea.
And
swaddled the child and placed it in the cup. How did the second mom know the cup was available for this sort of thing?
It was planned, I think, with them. That's the way the story, from what I hear, was supposed to happen. So they knew it was happening. They still ended up having their baby put in the bowl afterwards. But
runner-up, though.
Yeah.
And that baby's name was Wayne Gretzky. Turned out to be... the greatest player ever. Get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a wild story.
It is.
What is the, I can see there's an X'd out name on the trophy.
Yes.
What's that story?
1983-84 Edmonton Oilers. Peter Pocklington, who was the owner at the time.
Yes, sir.
He wanted to honor his father, put his father's name on the cup, but he had no affiliation with the team in any way. So when the NHL found that out, they made him X it out because he didn't deserve to be there. So now he's probably more famous for the X out than he is just to have the name.
So why not just re-engrave I guess you're not going to re-engrave the entire band, right?
Probably not. I'm not sure how many teams are already on there, but that's a lot of work, you know, to go back and redo everything. So,
so it's much easier just X out his dad's name.
Wow.
Yeah. How does this investigative process work? I mean, like, he just try to sneak it past the goalie, to use the phrase, try to go on the cup keeper's five hole? Is that what you're saying with his dad's name?
He tried to sneak it past the NHL, but there are rules, and, you know, you have to earn it to be on there, and that's only fair to the guys that have earned it in the past. So if your name's on there and you're not supposed to be, then, you know, that's the only way they could take it off.
Is that the only name that's X'd out on the cup?
There is another name that just got X'd out recently. Involved a team from 2010, Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. So we don't usually talk about that.
Okay, understand. Too much, but, well, as much as the same one that says
there was some inappropriate behavior going on.
Understood. And, I got it. So. And so there's seven more spaces here.
Yes.
And somebody in just a couple of months. How fast does the engraving take place?
It takes about a week. Last year they did it fairly quickly before the summer tour started, but typically it's not done until the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. That way the players can start getting their day with the cup a lot quicker. But I think it's fun that they have it on when they have their day. That way they can see their name, they can share it with their family and friends, and it's already on there. So it all depends on the timing and how the team wants to do it. I guess it's up to them if they want to be able to, you know, start their tour right away or just kind of wait and finish it before the season starts again.
Well, I'm going to miss having Lord Stanley's Cup here. This has been an honor. Yeah, it's been awesome.
So cool.
I thank you. I thank the NHL. I thank for everybody for offering us up. And as soon as I heard it, I'm like, are you kidding? Absolutely. So where does the Cup go from here?
I'm headed to Atlanta tonight. Okay. I'm going to do some stuff there with Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq's got the Cup next?
Yes. We're doing some kind of a segment or something.
I mean, it's with Turner. I'm sure it's in promotion of Turner's playoff coverage.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL is doing a great job getting it around to, you know, different guys, radio, TV stations, mm-hmm. Influencers, anything that will help draw some attention to the playoffs that are coming up soon, April 20th, mm-hmm. and keep it in everybody's mind. Like, I mean, the Stanley Cup is probably the greatest professional team sports trophy around ever. Mm-hmm. So they just want to keep it out there and let everybody see it.
Internal friendly wager here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does the cup make it to Shaq's knee? Yes or no? Hold on a minute. How tall is the cup? The cup is how tall?
36 inches tall.
Yeah, that's a pretty long. Yeah.
It does make it to Shaq's thigh.
I don't know if it makes it to Wemby's knee.
Wembanyama's knee. Well, he's not going to see Wemby. He's going to see Shaq.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it goes past Shaq's knee.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Awesome. Thank you for being here, man. This is a total blast. And then I just love it goes in the case.
Back of the case.
Okay. And which has its own lining, right?
It does, yes.
In that case, in the lining changes colors, I heard?
It has over the years. It's form-fitted, so it protects the cup. But every 4 or 5 years, maybe, depending on how bad the cup case is, because all the handling with the airports and that, when we change it, we do change the color, probably to match maybe the current Stanley Cup champion. So
well, it's blue right now. Does that mean good for the Rangers, the Leafs?
Interesting.
Fans who probably think that, right?
Yes, absolutely they do. Yeah.
Hey, listen, fans pay attention to what the color scheme is of the Super Bowl logo and think it's the NFL fixing it for whoever's got their matching color schemes with their team. Pretty crazy, but this has been a blast meeting you, Howie. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the stories. Thanks for hanging with the cup. Thanks for letting us hang with it right here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a great experience.
April 20th, it begins. The Stanley Cup playoffs on Saturday, April 20th. TNT, TBS, True TV, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. You can watch it right here on the Roku portal. We're still here on the Roku channel for another minute plus. I don't even know. Is there anything I haven't asked? Is there a story I need to know? What do I need to know?
Oh, there's women's names on the cup. I think there's almost 20 now. It's mostly ownership, but there's a few executive assistants that are on there too.
Okay.
Our engraver is a woman. She's been doing it over 30 years now. She's only one of four engravers in the history of the cup, which is pretty unique in itself.
It's not from the same family though, right?
I think her father or grandfather did it previous to that. Cool. So it is something that carries on.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah.
This tradition's all over this chalice right now. Fantastic.
Every team that's ever won it since 1893 is still on the cup somewhere.
Is that right?
It is.
Because of the top rings that don't change?
Yes, these top bands here, like back then, they would only put like the year and the team name and stuff just to signify that. But as you get into the more modern era, you start seeing all the players' names and coaches and everything else. But
so then when you take a band off, do you have to re-engrave to make sure that, or just the same franchise, it doesn't matter, just franchise names?
Well, the top half of the cup doesn't change. It stays permanent to show a part of the original history. It's only the five bands on the big barrel that do change every 13 years.
Right. So, but if a band moves and then that team's not represented on the cup, that doesn't change, you would have to change that part, right?
Right now, every team will be on there. It goes from 1893 to 1992. Once they hit the 1992 again, on the larger bands, then they're going to have to maybe change something up to create that same tradition.
We'll have to have another bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
What a blast with the cup on the show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.